Thanks very much for the readings. Good. Well, here we go. What I say just now, I don't know if you're going to assume that I'm going to get behind Joe and encourage him and talk to him. I'm not principally going to do that. He's been thinking over experiencing God's call to go and to take on what he's doing shortly for many years. He's tested it out in his previous activities in STEP in Bolivia and STRIDE in Central America. He has spent, was it 2 years at All Nations? Was it? Yeah, two years at All Nations, which is the very best place for testing out a vision and preparing someone to live cross-culturally, not only to know their faith and to share their faith, but to do it in a way which does respect for other cultures and gets into the thinkings and the way of life of other cultures. And Joe has been blessed by that and equipped by that. And so what I'm going to say to us all, it will be just something he's worked with for some time. But I'd like to just encourage you, you all, in this special part you have in this same work of mission and as we come into partnership together. There again is another picture of the team that he'll be joining together with. The team in each country is autonomous. They have an annual conference and get together and choose their own sort of administration in that country. You can see the back row are trying to give the picture, the letters of Bolivia, if you work it out, across the top. There we are. I think they're by Lake Titicaca, right up there on the border with Peru. And here is that country, Louise. There it is. Okay. Get your bearings. But as a fellowship, could I put it like this? You are taking on not just the support for Joe, but you're taking on a nation. And I want to bring biblical backing to that. You're taking on a nation. And I'd like to encourage you in that. Here is a kind of image which will try and get across. It isn't a parallel, but it gets across the idea. Now, I know you're not all interested in the World Cup. But for those who are, know about these things, do you know who the team in blue are there? Huh? No, I'm afraid Bolivia doesn't score on the rugby world, yeah. Soccer, yes, and they'll play their home games at La Paz to have the advantage of altitude. Yeah, but that is Samoa, all right? That is Samoa. Samoa have a proud history of rugby. In the 1990s, they beat Wales. How about that? At the time, they were called Western Samoa, and some comedian said, just as well, it wasn't the whole of Samoa. Samoa is that speck, a couple of islands in the middle of the Pacific. It has about 200,000 people. That would be less than the population of somewhere like Plymouth, okay? But in rugby terms, they're ready to take on the world. And you can see the red shirt of Wales there, completely overwhelmed by Samoa. There they are beating Russia, which got 150 million people. Now that is the kind of dynamic that I'm encouraging you into, and it's a biblical dynamic. Let me make it more specific. As we read that psalm, what do you think are the key words? The repeated words. Praise. Praise. Yes, indeed. It's a song, it's a psalm of praise. Praise for God's purpose. Yeah? Any more specifics? Huh? Blessed. That's right. Asking for God's blessing and knowing God's blessing. Okay, now let's get to the nitty-gritty. How does God exercise his grace and his blessing for which we praise him? Right? With communicating with the nations. Okay? Do you see the frequency of that word? It's a prayer that God's salvation may be known among all nations. May the nations be glad. May God guide the nations of the earth. And it isn't just that word, but let's just think of the dynamic that I've got in mind. What country is circled there? Israel. And God put into the heart of his people, the family of Abraham, a vision for taking on the nations, because that was God's purpose. It became part of their DNA. Well, it ought to have been, but sadly, at times it wasn't. We're going to look briefly at that dynamic as it works through the Bible. Here is this prayer. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us so that his ways may be known on earth, his salvation among all nations. From God, his blessing through us to all nations, from you to Bolivia. And when it says peoples, that's just a synonym of nations. In the way of the Psalms, that's frequently the pattern of the poetic expression, just synonyms and parallels all the way. So we're thinking of las naciones and los pueblos, the nations and the peoples. And we're looking at this wonderful dynamic, this wonderful privilege, which we are all involved in, and you particularly as a church family are involved in commissioning Joe. He mustn't just be that person out there, he must be you out there, in prayer and identification with Joe as part of that dynamic. Let's just look at this very briefly in the whole purpose of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth in all their perfection, with all his wisdom and all the wonder of it and all the goodness of it. But you know, of course, the sadness of what happened in Genesis, of what happened in Eden, of what happened with Adam and Eve. As God's way was not trusted, and they sought their own way and made their own choices. At the climax of God's work, the creation of human beings, male and female, everything was good, and the creation of men and women was very good, we read. But things went wrong. Adam and Eve doubted God's word, and sin, as Paul expresses it, entered the world and the experience of each one of us. And in the early chapters of Genesis, the evidence of that sin came out. God brought judgment on it at the time of Noah. But when it came to Abraham, God initiated, as it were, how can we use the right words? Initiated a rescue plan, a purpose, which would touch every human being potentially who was spoiled. As Abraham is called by God to go to a country which God would give his people as a special gift, he goes to what we think of as Israel, Palestine, the Holy Land, There Isaac is born, and Jacob and the family ends up in Egypt. Ends up symbolically in the grave with all the signs of human failure. Not in the right place they should be. But when we think of those first 12 chapters, they have a special turning point in chapter 12. In those first 12 chapters, it's all downhill. From Adam and Eve's sin, Cain's murder of Abel, the judgment that was necessary through the flood, and then the pride of Babel. The pride of Babel, when self-centered humanity tries to organize itself independently of God. But then comes a turning point. And the significance of Genesis chapter 12 is huge, shapes the rest of the Word of God, and one which we should know as an absolute foundation stone of all that we do and of what we're doing today in commissioning Joe. It's when God's mission was first expressed in the terms that we became familiar with in the New Testament, with his call to Abraham, which then echoes and is worked out right through the Bible. On that day, God said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." He was going to give him 3 great gifts: a family, a land, and a purpose, a mission. "I will make you into a great nation, into a great family, a great people, a great clan, a great tribe." They're all the same sort of word, the same sort of idea. And here's the wonder of it. "My blessing upon you is not an end in itself. It is so that you will bring my blessing to the ends of the earth, to the nations, to all the peoples." Which was an impossible promise, because Abraham had no children. And Sarah laughed at the possibility of what God said. And here is this wonderful miracle of the birth of Isaac, which God gave to Abraham and Sarah, which is the basis of all of this. He took Abraham out into the night and asked him to look into the sky. "A son will come from your own body. Trust me. And everything you have will be his. Look up at the sky, count the stars if you can. That's how many children you will have." And hundreds of years later, when Moses was saying, "Now you must go into the land," in the book of Deuteronomy, "We failed to trust God, but now you must go in." He's kept his promise. He's made us as many as the stars in the sky. He's blessed us. He's made us a nation. Go in. And let's fulfill our purpose. And when God told Abraham to go to that land, he said, "Go and be a blessing. Go not just in your own self-interest, but be a blessing to all the world, to all the nations." God chooses to bless one family, not as an end in itself. His long-term purpose is that through that family, all the world will know healing. All the peoples will be blessed in Genesis chapter 12, and then we have this whole purpose worked out with a final word in Revelation 22, the final healing of the people, the nations. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Here in Deuteronomy, a book which sometimes gives people problems because God brings his people into the land in many ways in judgment upon the people in that land. But notice also a strong theme through that book. There's no partiality. He defends the cause of the fatherless, the widow, and he loves the alien, the foreigner, the people from other nations, other peoples. And you are to love those who are aliens, for you yourselves were aliens in Egypt. What a word in our situation today. We could work that out, but we haven't time to do that. But where the people of God lived out what God had put into their DNA, you have wonderful evidence of this. When Ruth was taken as a refugee into residence among God's people, she was taken into the whole history of God's family. And I love the expression of surprise and gratitude and wonder when she exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" And in God's purpose, you will get the experience of loving Bolivians and giving time to them and reaching out in prayer for them and longing for them. And so this psalm I thought was appropriate today, that all of us should say together, may God so bless us that these nations, and this nation in particular, Bolivia, through Joe, will be blessed. May we make this prayer with a real wholeheartedness that works out in practice through the task group, but through everyone in this fellowship. It's expressed in somewhere like Isaiah's prophecy, as he looks forward to one day when all God's blessings will be complete and God will bring foreigners to his holy mountain, give them joy in his house of prayer, a house of prayer for all nations. And those in Israel who retain this dynamic, and it was part of their vision, they expressed it beautifully. Here is Simeon taking the child Jesus when he's brought to the temple and saying, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. He's a light which will shine for those who do not know God. He will shine for the Gentiles. He's the one who will bring glory to your people, Israel." But Simeon was unusual. Isaiah was unusual in renewing that vision. The welcome to Ruth was unusual, because sadly, the Bible is just one long story of the evidence of God's people forgetting their purpose and living for themselves. God has blessed us. We are his family, his people. And with scant regard, in fact, often hatred and superiority to those who were Gentiles, who were dogs. And that can be the fault of the church. We see it when Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling. And he taught them, wasn't it written by Isaiah? My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, and you're just looking after yourselves. May God just deliver us from this selfish dynamic at every point in our church's story. And always for us to be reaching out with vision for God's purpose to be fulfilled to all the world, to all nations. Mark's gospel illustrates this theme so powerfully, the way God's people took so long to get the point. And although Jesus had explained it again and again, his identity, who he was, they couldn't get it. He says, "Do you have ears and you can't hear, eyes and you can't see?" And it took a Gentile, Roman officer at the cross, finally to nail it, that this was the Son of God. And to recognize, in a sense, for the first time, with what seems a genuine understanding, the But here was God present among us in a way that blessed a Gentile. And you see it, this lack which has come through Mark's gospel of understanding of his own people, when you get the early church and the quarrel between the Aramaic-speaking Jews and the Jewish and the Greek-speaking Jews, when they fell out with each other, and there was this prejudice. You got it in the experience of Peter when God guided him to go to Cornelius. How can I go to Cornelius, he thought. He's a Gentile. He's a dog. He's a foreigner. And Peter was given a vision of animals to take and eat, kill and eat. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean. An image, a picture of his attitude towards that which was unclean and people who were unclean. And God says, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. We are a favored nation, a favored people, a favored church. And it's just lovely to see those steppers come back and express this huge gratitude that they saw in people who followed God, a gratitude which they didn't know in their British hearts. A sense of God's mercy and grace, totally. And we need this link across the nations that we might know the fullness of the blessing of God. We live in a culture where the church is dying. All the statistics are going down, down, down. I remember when I went to work in Africa, it was so totally different. The church was new. There was a sense of going forward. We were into increase, and it was a totally different atmosphere. And we need to be in touch with parts of the world where the church is growing, where faith is being exercised in ways which we may have lost. Paul, when he was explaining to the churches, said, it's now revealed the mystery of Christ so that all nations might believe and obey him. So you're taking on Bolivia in this spirit. And it's just a wonderful opportunity for the church to develop that dynamic in particular ways. Bolivia is quite a large country, just to give you a feel of it as you put a map of it on the United States. There it is, some of the places in it. As Joe says, it's landlocked. Brazil to the east, Paraguay and Argentina to the south, Chile to the southwest, Peru to the west, Ecuador up to the northwest. This is where Joe was before, Trinidad, low-lying, hot, tropical, Amazonian almost, in that area. Then he was in Cochabamba. Bolivia is like that. It's cold, hot, cold, and comfortable. All right. The second place he went to was Cochabamba, which was comfortable. Okay. Now he's going to Sucre, which is cold. Yeah. He's going to Sucre. And that's 3,000 meters. That's about twice the height of Ben Nevis above sea level. Okay. Get to know Bolivia. Who is this? Your presidente is Evo Morales. You need to get to know Evo Morales. He's a great character. He came in, 12, 15 years ago, as the first indigenous president. And there were such hopes in Evo Morales changing everything. And he has changed a tremendous lot. He's taken on all the historic problems of Bolivia, and he's brought hope to the indigenous people in a way that they didn't know before. But over the years, he's become a little bit, he's extended his time in the presidency rather longer than the constitution originally allowed. He's stretching things. He's having support from the country, although quite a lot of dissent from some of the people. He has to cope with the eastern provinces who want to become autonomous. But there he is. Controversial. He's built a rather splendid presidential palace in the capital, La Paz. Actually, Sucre is the historic capital and the kind of legal capital, but La Paz is the administrative capital, the city right up on the high, on the Altiplano, in a huge crater. And that's the presidential palace. But anyway, you get to know Evo Morales, but you get particularly to know Sucre. And there's Sucre, some pictures of it. I mentioned the population of Plymouth. It's about the population of Plymouth, actually, Sucre. It has a very large number of students, which is partly why there's a student work, which was initiated there some years ago, which Joe is going to join in. Here are some of the elegant buildings of Sucre. And then here is a street corner with a very indigenous-looking lady there. And the high country in Bolivia is the area which is most strongly indigenous. So this is the city where Joe will be. He'll go to markets like this to buy his fruit and vegetables, you know, and all sorts of changes for him. And the particular work he's going to is called El Alfarero, and that is the Spanish for the potter. And this started with a student center, which was really basically a cafe in Sucre. More of that in a minute, but I've got another map which gives you something of the relief of Bolivia. To the west, you've got the Andes Mountains, and Sucre is in the mountains, as is Potosí and Oruro and La Paz. And then the country falls away down into places like Trinidad and Santa Cruz, where it's more Amazonian and hot. It is hot down there all the year round. But here is a picture of the cafe in Sucre of El Alfarero, a place to attract students. And onto that kind of presence of students has been built a whole lot of other ministries to students. Apologetics, evangelism, having a library there, having counseling for students, having training for them, having a foothold into other academic pursuits to pursue Christian ministries. It's a wonderful vision that Joe is going to be part of there. Here is a group of workers with El Alfarero in Santa Cruz, the other place where a center has been developed. And the couple who initiated all this, members of Latin Link, are Graham and Debbie Frith. Here they are just a few weeks ago visiting the Latin Link offices in Reading. That's Graham and Debbie Frith. And they're the bosses for Joe, and they're on leave at present, so when Joe goes to Bolivia, they won't be there initially, but he'll be with them. He's met them already, he's been with them, and he's sat under some of the training which Graham gives in leadership and counseling and so on. It began in Sucre in 2001, and since then, thousands of students have been blessed, impacted, through this work, and it's got a real place in the life of Sucre. And then Santa Cruz was developed from 2013 onwards. So it's a great place. Sucre has a large number of university students. And so there'll be a kind of interaction between these two places. I just looked up on my mobile phone, you know, what it's like traveling between Sucre and Santa Cruz. Well, it's a journey of 9 hours, 47 minutes. And it's about 300 miles, I think. So this is high in Sucre and low in Santa Cruz. Joe is going to Sucre, where he doesn't know the people who are leading the project. They're all women. That's right, isn't it? That's right. So Job will be the only man. So that's an issue. You've got to work that out. Yeah. And get into trusting relationships there. But, you know, it'll be a real learning process for Job. And there'll be interaction between him in Sucre and the Friths. Oh, there it is. 486 kilometers, about 300 miles, I think. So there's Job. And you're getting behind him. Strength to you in doing that. We are all to be part in God's purpose of reaching all nations. And if we're true people of God, that part of our DNA will come out in every gesture of our life. Every thought we have, every prayer we have, every way in which we act in our community. We are blessed in the London area with having international churches. We know what it is to greet internationals, and that's a key part of building a cross-cultural fellowship in our churches. May you be blessed in doing that and know how to affirm those who come from other countries. Just the privilege in our own church, a short distance away, of getting to know Iranian refugees and helping them into activity here. Of being with North Koreans and hearing the stories of escape and extraordinary experiences of discovering God for the first time. And it isn't just a matter of geography. You don't need to be Joe and go to Bolivia to be part of this. The way you act towards that foreigner at the checkout at the supermarket is part of God's purpose. The way you take on an international student as a lodger may be. Have you thought of that? The way you think of that family who've moved into your road and relate to them and greet them and welcome them, a part of God's dynamic and his witness. Because God has given you a faith in order that it should be shared. And every gesture, every action. In 1962 or 63, Ruth Sharman, who's sitting amongst us today, came as a speaker to our Christian group in the university at Exeter. And amongst the students was a young chap who had a huge interest in Peru. He'd bought a car, an old Ford Popular 1938, for £35, and he called it, I called it, it was me, Viracocha, one of the sun gods of the Incas. I was hugely interested in the history of Peru. I didn't know anything about missionary work or what I talked about this morning, but I was seeking God's purpose for my life. I was open to how was I going to use my degree. And this person came, having served in Peru for some years and sharing her work there and her care for those who lived around her in Peru. And that was God's word to my heart, which shaped my life. I give thanks for what God did through Ruth on that day. She didn't know it was happening, but it drew me into that sense of the wonder of the dynamic that my life was to be given for other people. That a life in God's hand is to be a life of sacrifice for other people, and particularly for different people, people from the nations, from the peoples who God has placed across the world. And that can be in our local road. It could be anywhere. God bless you in being God's witness that all the nations should know. And we share together in supporting Joe, that he might be part of making disciples among all nations. God bless Joe, and God bless you in furthering God's purpose in that way.